When I was 18 years old, I had a relatively bad injury to my knee. I used to play a lot of soccer and injured my knee actually playing rugby. Subsequently, I had to have a knee reconstruction. The end result was I had a very average procedure, and I landed up spending a lot of time having physiotherapy. I guess the realization at that stage was that my soccer career had come to an abrupt end, and through that and the amount of time that I'd spent doing my own rehabilitation, I got very interested in the profession. The practice that I was attending at the time was looking after some sporting teams. Yeah, I just got very interested in the profession, and obviously the sports side of it interested me even more. And at that stage, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was 18 years old, or just finishing school. It was a long haul for me because I had to do national service back in South Africa. In those days, it was compulsory to do national service. I went to the army and did 2 years in the army. I realized also that at that stage I didn't have the grades, so I went back and redid maths and science to get better grades. I then proceeded to do another degree, trying to leapfrog into the profession of physiotherapy, so I did an undergraduate degree in human movement studies. I did really well, and I managed to get into physiotherapy, so it was a long haul for me. It took me a long time to get there. I ended up doing my degree in Johannesburg at the university there. When I look back now, I'm thankful for a lot of things that happened post that period and for my path in physiotherapy.
So once you completed your degree, was it very easy to get into treating the Olympic soccer team?
Again, it was a long journey. It didn't happen straight away. Through my love of soccer, I started doing some time at my local club and offering my services as a physio. And I started out there, and that was at an amateur level. And that was my first kind of taste of doing any kind of sport physio. And going back to those days, I mean, that time and what I put in, I didn't get any money for. It was just a service that I offered the club at the time. I thought there was a good way to get my foot in the door and get some experience, which was great for me. So that's where it started. And then I managed to get into the right practices, and fortunately, again, part of this is luck, and a lot of people say you make your own luck, but I was very lucky, and I managed to get a position with one of the junior national teams for South Africa. I think it was the under-15 national team by default through part of the process of our re-invitation into world sport in the early 90s and the change of government in South Africa. So there was a lot of new things coming on, and the guy who was actually the physiotherapist for the national soccer team was getting overloaded because they were just throwing more and more teams at him. I knew him well. I did some work for him, and that's really how it came about. It just spiraled from there. Then I was given the South African under 20 team to look after, so I had both junior teams to look after. And then eventually they brought an Olympic team on board, which was really the under 23 national team. Again, because I was part of it, they offered that position to me. At that stage, I took that position, but I reneged two positions of the junior team, so I gave away the under-15 and the under-20 teams, and I took over the Olympic team. And then I stayed with the Olympic team right through two Olympic campaigns. We never qualified for Atlanta, but that was a phenomenal experience, having traveled through a lot of the African states, and there's some very interesting stories around some of our travels there, you know, going to war-torn Burundi and countries where there was civil war, and flying in on chartered aeroplanes to play a game of football was not only interesting but very dangerous.
And how were you received in these countries?
We were received relatively well. South Africa was part of the African continent again, and there was never any kind of animosity towards the South African national teams after post the Mandela era and post-apartheid, I guess. But when you're traveling into Africa, it's interesting to see the Australian teams now going through similar things, going into Asia in some ways and into different environments and different cultures. It's very challenging for the players, but also for the medical team. And going into countries like, you know, we went into Burundi pre-94, and there was quite a big civil war going on there at the time. And there was a big discussion about us even going because of the dangers involved. And they chartered flights. We had to fly via Kenya. No airlines would fly into Burundi. It's pretty daunting when you arrive at, you fly into a little airport and you look out of the window, and there's military personnel everywhere and armored vehicles everywhere, and you get a military escort to the football ground, and it can be quite scary. And that event stands out in my mind just so much because we went 1-0 up in that game against the run of play, and then they got a very dubious penalty decision, and some of our players were actually disputing the decision, and the next thing there were three army personnel on the field with AK-47s basically pushing our players away from the referee, because you would know in soccer or football, you know, players are always very good at disputing decisions, and when there's an army officer standing there with an AK-47, our players would kind of just put their hands up and just walked away from the situation, obviously, and we ended up getting beaten 5 or 6-1. I think the players after that, just all they wanted to do was get out of there. And so it was quite an experience, it really was, and you know, travelling into Africa with the team was very, very interesting and very challenging, and often we had to take water and we had to take, you know, our own supplies and food and obviously medical supplies. You know, a lot of the countries we went into were destitute in a lot of ways. There weren't facilities and there weren't backup services, so it was very interesting. It wasn't like you were travelling into first world countries. Unfortunately, we never survived the campaign in that we got knocked out and we never made it to Atlanta. But the second campaign, we were fortunate enough to qualify, and we qualified for Sydney, and hence the opportunity to come to the Olympic Games, which for me was just an absolute highlight.
Are you planning to go to South Africa for next year's World Cup?
Yes, I certainly am.
And who will you be barracking for?
Someone asked me that question today. I've got to say that if South Africa were playing Australia, it would be very difficult for me. I think, you know, my heart's in one place and my head's in another. I'd hate to see either one of them get knocked out. So Australia will have my full support and so will South Africa.
And when did you decide to migrate to Australia?
I think it was 98 or 99. I put in my application. I have a sister and a brother who live here. You know, I've always liked the Australian people. They're very friendly and open and very kind. And at that time, there were concerns, I guess, in my own mind about where South Africa was going and what was going on. And I decided personally that in the early 90s to sit it out through the changes. I was very positive about what lay ahead for South Africa at the time, and I was very for the change and very for the Mandela era. And over a decade or so of being there, with all the changes, I was getting a bit despondent about things. I'd met my wife at the time, and we were thinking about a family and the future of our kids and the safety and I guess all those issues, and I put in my papers, and fortunately at that time my papers were processed very quickly on my skill. You know, I got my residency very quickly. I guess I came to the Olympic Games and was just blown away. That was a very special time in Australia, and I remember again another very special night was when we played Brazil at the Gabba in Brisbane, and we beat Brazil 3-1. Brazil were favourites to win the tournament, and we beat them, and there was something really personal in it for me because one of our star players had a back injury and was doubtful all week, and we worked around the clock to get him back, and we took a great risk in him playing. And you can have 100 decisions to make in sport physio. You can make 99 good ones and no one will even know you've made them, but you make one bad one and it can ruin your status as a physio in seconds. And anyway, he played and he scored a magnificent free kick and goal, and that was just a highlight for me. I went back and I said to my wife, basically, look, let's pack up and go now. Why wait? Let's just go. Things are good there. Things are happening. It's a great place.
And was the transition difficult for you and your wife?
My wife, Karen, was 3 months pregnant with our first child, Nathan, who's now almost 8. So she struggled. She really did. Leaving particularly her mum and dad and her family in Cape Town was very hard. There were quite a few occasions that I came very close to saying, look, let's just go back, because it's hard to come home and see the person you love suffer and be miserable and unhappy. And I've got to say, fortunately, things have turned and she's a lot happier now, and she enjoys being here and she knows why we are here. I mean, the reasons for us being here are very obviously intellectually and I think logically they make a lot of sense. But, you know, your heart is also very hard to move. Your heart is not an easy thing. I think a friend of mine once said to me, you know, immigration is like for a marriage. You either got very strong glue that will glue your marriage together, make you stronger, or your marriage can fall apart and fall into pieces, you know, like a piece of porcelain, like you're hitting a concrete floor. And fortunately, Karen and I have stood firm. We've got a great life here in Australia. To be honest, I find it more challenging dealing with the general public in a lot of ways, because you see a much greater spectrum of conditions. Once you're in sport physio and you're dealing, for example, in soccer, you're seeing a lot of the same things, which are relatively, well, yeah, they're relatively easy to manage and treat. I mean, you've got to be on your money and you've got to be evidence-based. You've got to be up there with the latest stuff. You've got to know what you're doing. But the bottom line is that, you know, once you've seen one hamstring injury and you know how to look after it, it's not too difficult to look after the next one. But in private practice where I am, look, I've got a very corporate practice and we see a lot of spinal conditions. When I say spinal condition, a lot of people with back problems. And because we're in a corporate area, most of the population around us are just sitting on bums all day. in front of computers, and the amount of spinal conditions and problems that come out of the staticness of sitting is quite phenomenal. And it's a real challenge to fix people's spines and fix their backs. And these are people that have chronic problems, a lot of them. And I've said this to a few people. I think that's, for me, a lot more challenging. And in some ways, it's more rewarding to help people that have suffered for so many years with a particular condition that come across to you and are looking for help and wanting help and guidance. And that's probably more difficult and more rewarding in the same way. And look, treating athletes, you know, he's also very rewarding, and I had moments where things worked against me as well, when I put players back on the field where I was absolutely convinced they would be fine, and you know, and within minutes of being on the field, they blew out, and that reflects very badly on you as a physiotherapist. But working in that environment, you know, you're under a lot more pressure, I guess. You're dealing with players that are worth a lot of money. A lot of these players, particularly in soccer, were playing in Europe for big clubs. So they were getting released. It's pretty much like the national team here, where players like Cahill and the likes thereof get released from their clubs. And if they get injured on national team duty, it creates a lot of animosity, and it's very difficult to deal with medical teams that are a long, long way away from you. And so it was challenging, and it was difficult at times, very difficult, particularly also if players came into camp from Europe with an injury. So some of them, you know, would be released with a problem and travel, you know, right across Europe and Africa to come and play a game, and they'd come with an injury, and we'd pose the question as to whether they should play or not, and the coach would be putting you under pressure, and there was pressure from lots of different management. And so you had to be strong, you had to really believe in what you were doing and stand up for yourself, and times you would fight battles all on your own. Fortunately, I had a very good team doctor, and even when I worked in rugby, the doctors were really good, and we worked very hard and very closely together. But it's a very different environment, and you're generally, you know, you would have a lot more time with the players to get them better and get them on the field and work very hard and around the clock and through the night if you had to. So I think that the bottom line for me is always that I think dealing with people in the general public and people with, particularly with spinal problems, it's very challenging, and it's very rewarding to help manage them and get them better and get them, you know, on the right path.
How difficult was it for you to have your professional qualifications recognized?
At the time, I was very fortunate. Things have changed. So when I applied to get in as a physiotherapist under the skilled immigration laws, at that stage, I mean, we're talking now going back over 10 years, I think, my qualification was accepted very quickly. But things have changed now, and what I believe is that physios coming out of any country except New Zealand fall under a much, much greater scrutinisation, actually have to write an entry exam, which is very difficult from what I understand, and sit a whole range of practical exams to actually get registration in Australia. So the Australian Board and Physiotherapy Board and Australian Council of Physiotherapy, they've made it a whole stack harder for physiotherapists coming into Australia. Fortunately, I got away with getting in. They just accepted the degree then, and I think what's happened is that, particularly in South Africa, some of the universities have changed their curricula, and a lot of the universities have lost their rating, and because of that, I guess their concern is that the qualification isn't at the standard of the Australian physiotherapy qualification. But I know that's not just South Africa. It's all countries, including the US, UK, Canada, all those countries, you've got to sit and write the exam and do your practical exam.